Hello and welcome back to The Thing Is on Alta Anonta FM with me, Barrow Scanlon. This is the second episode of the show. So the show is going to be broadcast every second Saturday and then the following Monday. So every second Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. and then the following Monday evening at 10 past 5 in the evening. So if you're listening on Saturday, good morning. And hopefully whatever you're doing at this Saturday morning is interesting. And then if you're listening on Monday, well, I hope the first day of your week wasn't too long. Probably was if you were me. But anyway, this might get your week off to a better start. So I am alone today in the studio. I don't have a guest, but I have two interesting, hopefully, interviews that I did in the last 2 weeks. The first was with Deborah Haywood, the director of the film Pincushion, which I saw at the British Université Film Festival, which took place back in January from the 18th to 21st of January. So I'll talk a bit more about the festival later. And I also have an interview with this brand new up-and-coming Franco-Portuguese music duo who were playing in Nantes at the weekend. And again, we'll get back to that in a while. So between now and the next half an hour, I suppose, we will also have a look at a couple of news stories and a few things that are happening around Nantes that might interest all you Anglophones and expats out there. The first thing that I just want to talk about is something that caught my eye this morning as I was reading some news online. And it's funny because I had a couple of friends here at the weekend who came over from Dublin. And it seems that subconsciously we were checking our steps quite a lot during the weekend, as in we were checking on our phones, which it seems that most smartphones now, not my own, but most smartphones now are just equipped with these pedometers. So we were checking loads. Oh, how many steps have we done? Have we done our 10,000 or 13,000 steps today? And Saive and Emma, if you're listening, that did not in any way bother me, but this just caught my eye this morning that apparently this 10,000 step guideline thing, which a lot of people try to abide by, is a bit of a scam. It was actually invented in the 1960s in Japan. In 1964, Tokyo hosted the Olympics, and one of their marketing people decided that Japanese people weren't walking enough and that they should get 10,000 steps a day instead of the average at the time of 4,000, because they were becoming slobby like the Americans. And I would like to say as a disclaimer, that was not my words. That's what the Japanese guy said. And yeah, so apparently that worked and all the Japanese people got really fit just before the Olympics. I'm not sure what exactly the end goal was. I don't think any of them suddenly decided to take part, but maybe in the long run it worked out for Japan. So if anyone is out there feeling stressed that they did not get their 10,000 steps today, then just bear in mind that it is a scam, so you should be fine. Okay, so as I mentioned, yes, the Université Festival. So for anyone who's not familiar with Université as a concept, it's a film festival ran by the University of Nantes. So it's headed up by a committee of some students and some lecturers in the university. And they have four main kind of sub-festivals throughout the year. So for 2017, we had the German Film Festival from the 5th to the 10th of December. And then the British Film Festival, which just gone by there from the 18th to the 21st of January. And then the Russian and the Italian have still to come. So on between the 13th and the 18th of February of this year, we have the Russian Film Festival coming up. And then from the 15th to the 18th of March, the Italian one. All the films take place in the 14 film cinema, which is just behind the Gala Opera Theatre in the city centre. And I have to say, I think it's really cool that you can, I mean, it's not often you get to experience cinema from other countries, and they're all either subtitled or dubbed in French, so accessible for those of us who can follow subtitles in French. Of course, for the British films, they were all in English anyway, so it was fine. So I went along on the first night of the British Film Festival to see a film called Pincushion, which is Deborah Haywood's first feature film. Before that, she'd done a couple of shorts, but I won't spoil the interview. But basically, the film is about a mother and a daughter who move to a new town, and they're a bit odd. They're a bit, different. So they're very, very close. And the film kind of plays out like a distorted fairy tale kind of vibe. But it's really nice to look at, even visually, because you can see those fairy tale elements. But also, there's a kind of shock ending, I have to say. It's a great film. So if anybody does see it coming up anywhere, I mean, Deborah's getting loads of exposure and loads of opportunities to show the film all around Europe at the minute and in the UK. So if anyone does come across it, I would recommend going to see it. But anyway, I won't spoil the rest on you. So this is an interview that I was lucky enough to get with Deborah as she was in Belgium. Actually, she had just left Nantes, but I caught her on her phone, so have a listen. Hey Deborah, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, by the way. I know you're very busy.
Oh, that's all right, you're very welcome.
This is your first feature film, if I did my research correctly. Is that right?
Yeah.
And
yes, it is.
What was it like transitioning from, I know you've made a couple of short films, what was it like going from short films to a full feature film for you?
Well, emotionally, mentally, I was absolutely terrified because it just seemed so... such a big thing to do. And I knew that, you know, there's, and also the money, I thought, oh my god, somebody's given me all this money and what if I, you know, screw it up.
So
that was scary, so I had to kind of pretend that that wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. But I actually found it was easier to make a feature film than it was to make a short film, because you've got so much more support on a feature film. You know, you've got a lot more crew, you've got people who are doing costume and doing all the different bits with you and for you. Whereas in a short film, you're often like, I'm buying the costumes and I'm trying to do the costumes and makeup. And, you know, you're trying to do all these different things because you've never got enough money.
So did you find it kind of difficult to delegate out that work? Like, would you consider that you, maybe when you're doing the short films, you're used to being in control of everything and you're used to having that responsibility? Was that a difficult transition?
I was kind of glad because I was like, yeah, thank God I haven't got to think about that. But it was a few, like the costumes, because I normally choose the costumes with the actors. And it's part of, you know, it's often part of kind of, not rehearsing, but kind of bonding with the actors. So I did miss it for that because I found that, you know, I like to have that time and choose the stuff together, and it helps us both, I think, understand the character more and you know, kind of get more of a bond and a rapport and stuff. But apart from that, I was really just ecstatic to have somebody else. And also, I think somebody else, when you've got somebody else helping you and doing those things, like, you can do it to yourself to a certain standard, but when somebody else comes and helps you, they bring their ideas on with it as well. So it kind of makes your ideas so much better.
Yeah, and that could be their...
They've got those talents kind of thing.
Is that kind of a natural progression for a director to go from shorts into feature films and just keep making feature films? Is that kind of the goal as a director?
I think so, yeah. Because I think you do short films as practice, mm-hmm. because it's... kind of a smaller chunk to it's not such a big undertaking, so
almost like a rite of passage,
they can do more of them. And yeah definitely, but I mean, I'd still make shorts even though I made a feature now, because I think they're their own skill set and their own, and I really enjoy short films and watching them. And I think it's more like a short film is a poem, and I think a feature film's more like you know, a short story kind of thing.
Okay, that's a nice way to put it. It looks like you just kind of got in properly to the film industry about 10 years ago. Did you always want to be a director, or like, was that a kind of thing that you just fell into by accident?
Yeah, no, I totally fell into it. So I'd been I'd kind of messed up at school and left school at 15 and not done my exams. And then I had my daughter when I was 17. And then when I got to about 23, I really felt insecure and inadequate as a person because I hadn't got any qualifications and, you know, it affected my confidence. So I went and did an access course at my local college. And part of the modules for that, one of the options was creative writing. So I'd always loved reading and I liked English at school. So I took that as an option. And that's when I discovered that I really liked writing. It was like some kind of drug and, you know, it really made me feel good and I enjoyed it. So I did a good degree in literature and creative writing. And then after that, I was just working any jobs to pay my debts off. But I was still writing at home for myself. And then I saw an advert one time in a local regional thing, which were looking for short scripts to make into short films. And so I wrote a short script and entered it. And it got selected and then it went through a process. And then at the end of it, I think there were 12 people and their scripts chosen, and then they were going to make 6 films, my script got through to the final 6, and I thought then that I would get paired up with a director somebody else would direct it, and then they said, oh no, you're going to direct it, and I was like, oh my god, I don't know what a director does.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary title, isn't it?
God, so scary, yeah. And also because I'm not the kind of person who's bossy, and I thought, how am I going to ask people to do stuff and, you know, like lead this thing? But my dad had just died, and I just thought, oh, well, the worst thing's already happened, so, you know, we're all going to be dead one day, so I'll give it a go. And, and it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life.
I watched an interview that you did, I just saw it on YouTube, that you didn't expect, as a woman, you didn't actually expect to be allowed to make a film, or like, is it really that bad in the industry at the minute?
Well, I think it's changing now because people are bringing in, following Sweden or Switzerland's example, they've brought in, so anything that's lottery funded or government funded, they're making sure that it's 50% women and other groups like BAME, and so I think by the UK following that example, I think it's going to change. So I think it's really encouraging now, but I know that it has been terrible. Like, I think it was 7% of women at one point globally. And also, I think it was 2% of women get to make their second feature, which is, you know, really, really bad. But I think it's the same for, well, I think it's even worse for cinematographers, actually, female cinematographers. I think they're like on 3% of cinematographers are women. So hopefully something's going to happen to encourage more women to go into actually shooting the films as well. So, because I think it's only going to enrich and add to cinema and make it more varied and interesting if more different voices start telling the stories. So.
Exactly, and I suppose females bring a different series of themes and a different kind of, it's kind of almost going down a different path. Like, your next project is a horror film about postnatal depression, is that right?
Yeah, hopefully.
That sounds very interesting.
If I can write it, and if I get the money to make it. But yeah, no, I'd really, really like to do that. Like, I think it's something that people don't talk about because it's a bit taboo, because as a new mom, you don't want anyone to know that you're suffering. And often you don't know that you're suffering yourself, because it's just kind of, you're so sleep deprived and like manic, and everything's just so, your hormones are raging, that I think, you know, you're not often aware of it yourself that you're going through it. And I think as a film, cinema can do some really surreal and interesting visuals and experience it emotionally somehow. Anyway, it sounds like, it frightens me to think, oh god, how am I going to do this, but also it really excites me because I'm like, god, yeah, this is something that I think can really lend itself to cinema.
It's really nice to hear that you only got into that at 23, because that's where I'm at right now, 23 year old, just finished college.
No, I don't say that. I'm sick. Actually, I didn't write my first script until I was 36.
So oh
Great, at even better.
That's when I went. Yeah, so that's when I went to university and actually tried to get an education. So
no,
yeah.
But it is.
God,
it
no,
isn't.
You've got so much time.
It is encouraging also, to hear that, really.
Yeah, but also I think if you want to be a writer or a filmmaker, actually, to get some life experience first, because then you've got more to draw on, more to talk about. You've got more experience of our emotions and our thoughts and how we behave and operate as humans. And I think that's all really valuable.
Okay, well, best of luck in Rotterdam and with the rest of the film. I'll be keeping an eye out for this next one.
Yes, do. And please invite us back.
Oh, if I had any say in it, you would be back right
you
away.
Will.
Thanks, Deborah.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks so much.
No problem. Cheers. See ya.
Bye, Ducky. Bye.
That was Deborah Haywood, the director of Pincushion. So I have to say, I was really, really happy to hear that she didn't get into her filmmaking career until quite late, relatively late, I suppose, in career terms. Yeah, that always makes me feel good. So if you've just joined in, you're listening to The Thing Is on Etianant FM with myself, Baro Scanlan. And I think it's time for a song. So this is a song that I wanted to play last week, but actually didn't get the time. So this one is for anyone who likes a bit of Irish music or who happens to be Irish. It's Planxty.
P stands for Paddy, I suppose. J for my love, John, and the W stands for false William. But Johnny is the fairest man. Johnny is the fairest man, my love. Johnny is the fairest man, and I don't care what anybody said, for Johnny is the fairest man. As I went out one May morning to take a pleasant walk, I sat myself down upon an old stone wall to hear two lovers talk, to hear what they might say, my dear, to hear what they might say, that I might know a little more about love before I'd go away. He stands for Paddy, I suppose. J for my love, John. And a double stands for false Willie-O. But Johnny is the fairest man. Come and sit you down beside me, he says, together on the green. For it's a long 3/4 of a year or more since together we have been. I'll not sit by you, she says, now nor at any other time, for I hear you love another little girl, and your heart's no longer mine. Your heart's no longer mine, my dear, your heart's no longer mine. It's just 3/4 of a year and no more, and your heart's no longer mine. He stands for Paddy, I suppose. J for my love, John. And the W stands for false Willie-O. But Johnny is the fairest man. And I'll go climb the tall, tall tree, and I'll rob the wild bird nest. And when I come down, I'll give a little thought to the girl that I love best. The girl that I love as my dear, the girl that I love as stand down, I'll come and I'll go straight home to the girl that I love as. Stands for Paddy, I suppose. J for my love, John. And the W stands for False Willie O. But Johnny is the fairest man. Johnny is the fairest man, my dear. Johnny is the fairest man. And I know a little more about love before I travel on.
It's a lovely song. It's P for Paddy by Planxty. There's plenty of versions out there. And I actually, shamefully, only really properly heard that song just over Christmas. I was in Glidore in West Donegal in Ireland. And during the Scal Givri, so there's a music winter school, and the Friedel sisters sang it with Nia Byrne at one of the nights of the winter school. And it was absolutely lovely. And then I was lucky enough to just come across it again on Spotify a couple of weeks later. So that's for it's a shout out to anyone who can sing that song, which is great. And sticking with Gaelic and Ruddy Gaelaha and things that are Irish, actually, this is a bit of a self plug, but it has to be done. So for anyone, this might fall into the Anglophone category. For anyone who is interested in learning the Irish language, actually, on Monday, the 5th of February, so if you're listening on Saturday, it's in 2 days. If you're listening on a Monday, you have 2 hours to get there. Starting at 7 p.m, I'm going to be starting a series of beginner lessons in the Irish language with the Kentelli Oan Nos, which is the Breton Language Night Classes Association. So if you want to get more details, well, I have the details here. It's going to be a weekly thing from February to April, every Monday at 7 o'clock in the Tí Celtic, which is on Rue Arruis. I've never actually heard anyone pronounce that street. I only know it from the sign, so I might be pronouncing it wrong. It's H-A-R-O-U-Y-S, 3 Rue Arruis. I could be corrected on the pronunciation. Doesn't matter. If you want to find out more information, you can email the Kentelli Oan Nos, so it's kentelioannoz at gmail.com, or even if you just go on their Facebook page, all the info is there. As I said, it's complete beginners, and this 20 euro subscription fee, so for anyone who's interested. Another thing that might interest English speakers in Nantes that happens on a Monday is the Franco Anglais Café, which is kind of like a language exchange, which happens in gigs every Monday at 8:30. I've been along a couple of times myself. I'm pretty sure it's some students from the university who run it, but it's a great way to meet like-minded people, or if you want to improve your French even, there's always people there happy to speak French. But yeah, there's people from all over, so anyone who, maybe if you're new to the city and you want to get to know a couple of new faces, then that is a good way to go. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, I ran into this really cool new sound in Nantes. So I was just strolling down the street on Saturday, busy shopping hour, and I heard this band kind of busking on the side of the street, and they happened to be singing in English, so I thought, perfect, they sing in English, they speak English, and they did. So this is Coco Pilots. This is a quick interview I did with them on Saturday. Here we are. Where exactly are we in Nantes?
In the Place du Change.
Place du Change. And I am with Coco Pilots?
Yes.
Tell me where you're from. I get one of you is Portuguese, one of you is French. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
So I'm French. I play trumpet. My name is Chamo.
I'm Sari. I'm Portuguese, and I play the guitar and I sing.
And what brought a French guy and a Portuguese girl together in the Place du Change?
Well, I think the first thing was a magical night in Cambodia where we met, and we started playing music together.
Yes. And then it was just about traveling all around the world by playing music. And today we are in Nantes.
And where is the next stop on your travels?
Well, the thing is that now we are kind of like based as well in Nantes, because we said that to be able to as well develop our music, we need to stay like more fixed in one point.
To record the CD.
Exactly.
We just recorded CD.
But now the next trip will be in
Morocco.
Yes, in 3 weeks.
Two or three weeks to
Morocco.
Wow. Okay, so if people in Nantes want to start to become part of your fan base, where do they need to go? Where can we see you play live?
So we have first a Facebook page. Our website is still it's under construction. But we have as well new dates in February. We are gonna play the 2nd of February in Just Be Good. It's a crêperie. And then on the 6th of February in Le Chat Noir.
Ah, the Chat Noir.
Yes.
And
my
then
favorite.
On the 9th in Le Guet-Apens. It's just nearby Nantes in Rosé.
Can you tell me how to say thanks in Portuguese before we leave?
On three. One, two, three. Obrigado.
Obrigado. Okay. In Gaelic we say Goramayagut.
Goramayagut.
You have Cocoa Pilots, and I included a bit of their session there on Saturday at the end. Of course, it was an outdoor recording, so if you want to hear them, if you want to hear their real music, you can find them on Facebook, Cocoa Pilots, there's no space. And as they said, they have just finished recording their EP, which is due to come out in February, as far as I know. And you might have heard my excitement at the fact that they're playing in Le Chat Noir on Tuesday, the 6th of February. You'll definitely see me at that, because I love that bar and I love that band. They're very cool. And I actually, this is something that I've discovered recently in Nantes, and I remember a couple of months ago I was looking for English books in Nantes, because I hate buying books online. Some people like the, you know, the anticipation of waiting for a book in the post, and I don't like it. But I'm not at the point where I want a Kindle and I want to have it instantly. I like the ritual of going to the shop, picking out a book, buying it, and bringing it home. So I was looking for English books, and I eventually found that in the Durance bookshop on Cours des 50 Otages, you have a great selection of English books. Really, really good. Obviously, they don't have hundreds and hundreds, but that's kind of what contributes to their great selection. So if anybody in Nantes is looking for English books, you can get them in Durance bookshop. Also, the bookshop which is behind the Gaumont cinema, and I have forgotten the name, I will get back to you on that. You can also get English language books in there. Their selection isn't as big, but Durance is great. And no, they are not paying me to say that. I just am very enthusiastic about that at the minute. I don't really know why. We're coming to the end of the show for this fortnight. If you want to get in contact with the show, which I would really love to hear, if anybody has any ideas, if you want me to talk about anything in particular on air, you can just go on alternantefm.net, go into émission, cultural emissions and cultural shows, and you'll find the thing is, or alternatively, alternantefm.net/the-thing-is, and you can send us an email there. Okay, so that's all I have for you for this installment. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you're having a nice Anglophone time in Nantes, or whatever it is you're doing. And I will be back again in 2 weeks with some more English tidbits. So, have a good one. See ya.